listening to the Apollo Podcast Network.
About right.
Yeah, let's see. 157. Welcome to the One Take Podcast, episode 157. We are joined by Mo, Ms. Pizzarino from What We Watch for the 75th episode, I believe.
right.
No.
Can never get enough.
Exactly.
No such thing as too much, Mo.
Mo, how you doing? It's been a minute.
I'm doing great. I was going to say 75th episode, but the 74th one was like a good while ago. So yeah, I'm happy to be here.
I think it's been so long that they came out with an actual Squid Game game show on Netflix.
And we did talk about Squid Game together. I think we had our own game show and they just kind of like took it and made it worse. So I don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely. So this week we are reviewing another Hulu movie because they're in the midst of what is now a finalized writer's strike. They were just dropping all the stuff.
Thank God. Free. We are so fucking back.
We should start with that. The actors still striking, but that seems to be inevitable that will be done. But that's just some light news off the top. This week we are reviewing No One Will Save You from Hulu. And I believe Fox Searchlight as well, as they continue to just drop all the Fox movies that Disney didn't want to put on Disney Plus yet on Hulu.
This feels like a Fox Searchlight movie. I did not know that, but when you said that, it clicked into my brain that it literally feels like a Fox Searchlight movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Hulu has Caitlin Dever in a 360 deal, apparently. keeping all her shit.
Yeah, No One Will Save You, 2023 movie, PG-13, hour 33 minutes long, 6.4 right now on IMDb. An exiled, anxiety-ridden homebody must battle an alien who's found its way into her home. Written and directed by Brian Duffield, who has done some interesting projects. You may not know that name, but he has written Love and Monsters, that underwater movie that came out during the pandemic with Kristen Stewart, The Babysitter for Netflix, and also developed the Skull Island TV series. So interesting writer, and wrote Divergent. So this is his first directorial debut.
I was going to say I have not seen any of those films, but I have seen Divergent. So
actually, I was going to say, this dude sounds like a career minor leaguer. He's AAA.
He has been in the Netflix studio system, if you will, I guess. this isn't his directorial debut. He made a movie called Spontaneous with Catherine Langford and Charlie Plummer, where teenagers spontaneously combust and explode and die. So they all have to live with the fact of knowing that. So that's his directorial debut.
This is his second directorial.
This is his second effort? Directorial effort. Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Stars Caitlin Dever and no one else. That feels reductive, but it has is true. If it has nobody you would really know, a guy, Zach Duhaim, maybe has the other big role as the mailman. Geraldine Singer as Mrs. Collins. And Dane Rhodes is police chief.
Who played the aliens? Because they stole the show. Whoever those physical body movements, they stole the show.
This made no money because Hulu. So, you know, I guess they'll juice the numbers and say that 80,000 billion people watch this movie. But who's to say? And as far as review scores go, Rotten Tomatoes is fake. 80% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, 58% audience score. So
R rating, right? This movie's rated R, right?
PG-13.
Okay. Yes. That makes much more sense.
58% from the audience. Mo, we always start with our guest. No. What did you think?
Give it a letter grade. Not rating it yet, right? Because I'm like,
you can't. No, go ahead.
No,
talk about it, then grade it.
Not ready. 58% is interesting. That's about 58% of the time while I watched this movie, I was like, what is happening? So I think it's embarrassing. My feelings overall were, you know, just again, I have a very special place in my heart. I have to say this on the show, and since we're live too, the writer's strike is over. We still got a lot to do. It's part of the battle, but we're not going to not celebrate our wins in these moments. Shout out to the SAG-AFTRA strong and the actors. Make sure that they get everything that they want as well so that we can all collaborate on these films, such as No One Will Save You. This felt like the director, Brian, wanted to have a fucking good time. We're allowed to cut.
Yeah. How dare you? Wait, no.
And I think he just had a really good time. I mean, for me, the decision to have as very little dialogue, if not no dialogue, for all intents and purposes, like, it was very interesting. I think we could have used some dialogue, but I don't want to come off the bat being so critical. I think, and I told Cheech this, I said, you know, what I feel like is we got a director's cut. And usually directors cut, a la, you know, Snyder or like, you know, 15 hours. But I think we got it felt like a director's cut. It felt like we weren't really sure what we wanted to do. And so we did everything. And honestly, I'm not too mad about that. Honestly, we had a good time. I really, really like the idea of staying with one person. Some of my favorite films like Lost, I think it's called Lost or Nowhere to Be Found or Lost at Sea or something with Robert Redford. It's him on a boat the entire movie. All is Lost. Thank you.
All is Lost. Yep.
Great movie. You know, Castaway, obviously. Great movies where the actor just gets to go off by themselves. So I'm glad we got to watch this. What is it? Dever, right? Dever.
Caitlin Dever.
Caitlin Dever go off in a horror house that Jordan Peele created, I guess. Because I'm like, this is nope. But yeah,
and M. Night Shyamalan created.
Short review. It was fun.
Do you have a letter grade? Are you willing to go that far yet?
Are we?
Or do you not want to say it yet?
No, I have to go last on my letter grade.
Okay. That's fair.
Sure. Dex, I want to go with you because you immediately text us, and I think I watched this before you and kind of managed your expectations about like this is immediate like nightmare fuel movie for 15 minutes, and then like as the night progressed into like 1 a.m. I was like, okay, what the fuck like happened?
Yeah, what is going on?
The exact same thing. So go ahead, man.
Literally sitting watching this movie for the first like 15-20 minutes, I was just sitting in my bed by myself being like, oh hell no, like multiple times, like as the first home invasion that starts this movie is happening, like just so fucking creepy and weird and like not super scary, but just like very tense and like, nope, this is about to go bad. No, don't do that. you know, that's what you come to horror movies for, is like you can see it coming, yeah. They can't see it coming, and you're just like, oh fuck. Like, and then they start trying to make points with the aliens and the scary shit that's happening. And they did not have a point to make that I can really tell. Like, we got into some grief, some societal justice, I guess, some like outcast shit, and I just wasn't. It just wasn't connecting. It just wasn't all curling over.
Did you feel like it was creepy because of the sound design? Because that was immaculate.
Yeah, oh the sound God. Design was really
it was
good.
So
the,
good.
The man, score is really good.
What yeah. is that? That's scary. The sounds were crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was a 10-foot-tall alien in the house, but like
that too. I mean, honestly, like every movie alien, after you see it the first time, all of them are kind of like that looks kind of dumb. Like, you
know, like, right. Well, I'll talk about that a little bit, but yeah.
Every movie alien that you see, you end up being like, all right, that looks kind of stupid.
Which is why I appreciate that they didn't like take too long to show it. Just show it. We know what it's gonna look like.
Yeah, we know it's stupid. The fucking Mexican little like
Mexican alien
that they show, like
it looked just like the Mexican alien.
But yeah, I really like the choice of it is a choice I haven't ever seen before in a movie where like the main character can talk, they just don't, you know. Usually, like, if a character is silent, it's like, oh, they're deaf, they've never heard language before, or like they were in an accident or something. But like, she totally can talk, she's fine. She just never does talk, which I thought was interesting and cool. And Caitlin Dever did a really good job, like, just being scared, and you don't need like to hear a narrator or like her inner monologue or hear her like say what she's thinking or whatever. You can just kind of see it, and I thought that was really cool. But like I said, once they start trying to make a point, they didn't have a point to make. So I can only love it so much. I'd give it, I think last night I said like a B, but I'm down to like a C plus. Like, the more I think about it, just because like, what was that?
What?
What were we doing? But I enjoyed it, and it's like a tight 90 minutes. You know, you can't really do too much wrong in a tight 90 minutes. That's pretty scary for the first half hour. Like, so yeah, I give it like a C plus.
Teach, go ahead, man.
I enjoyed this movie. First of all, I did not think that the aliens looked stupid. I thought they looked cool as shit. I really, every time the aliens were on screen, I was having a good time. Like, point blank period, no matter what the aliens were doing, I'm trying to ascertain their what are they here for? The aliens are doing a lot of talking and communicating, not obviously in English, but the aliens are saying much more stuff than our main character, who says basically nothing. And I was having a good time when the aliens were on the screen, and I love the way that they kind of built up the suspense of the alien being in your house. And it's like, that stuff is so visceral and so good. The sound design, like Mo said, is fucking phenomenal. Hearing the aliens walking around that house was, I was on the edge of my seat. Like, I watched it last night, and I was just like, holy shit, that would be so scary. There are multiple points where I was just like legitimately scared. So there are moments of fun in the movie. And I also like the decision not to have much dialogue in the movie, but I feel like our not having any dialogue has to serve the plot. And for the most part, when she's in the house by herself, it makes perfect sense that she's not speaking to anyone. That makes perfect sense. Like, the aliens are fucking with the lines of communication, so she can't talk on the phone. Okay, cool. No dialogue needed. But there's a point in the middle of this movie where she goes into town, and she's just, like, had a close encounter with an alien. And then it felt like we are going out of our way to make our movie stick to the original premise of not having dialogue. And it didn't make sense. It just didn't work. Like, her going into town and not saying anything to anyone just quite literally didn't work. And that was the first point in the movie where I was like, all right, that was a decision by the director, that he decided this wasn't going to be a movie where we're going to talk to people because she's an outcast anyway. So why do we need her voice? But if you just had a close encounter with an alien, I'm going to be screaming that shit into town.
I'm saying something.
I got it in my house. It's under a blanket, I swear.
I'll show you.
Come look at this shit.
I'll show you. Come look at this shit, guys.
Right now. I'm not kidding.
So that part really, really didn't work for me. And then, like Dex said, and like Mo kind of alluded to, from there, you start to ask a lot of questions. Like, okay, there's an alien in her house at first, and she's in her house. There's not a lot of questions, right? We know what's happening. The aliens are in her house. She's scared as shit, and she's trying to survive. Makes perfect sense. I have no questions. Every point after that in this movie, I started having so many questions, and only some of them got answered. The way that, you know, Royden says on this podcast all the time, that film ended 10 times. And half the time he says that, I'm like, no, it didn't. It made perfect sense. This movie legitimately ended 10 times. Yeah. There were 7 or 8 times where they framed Caitlin Dever, who did a phenomenal job acting, by the way. I thought she was great. They framed her perfectly in a shot that looked amazing. And I'm like, yes, this is our ending shot. She's perfectly framed. The colors are cool. She's making a cool facial expression. End scene. And it was like, no, we still have 15 more minutes. It felt like they did not know how to end this movie. I have way more questions about what happened in this film than I should, but I generally had a good time. I think I would give it a B. Like I said, the sound design is great. Caitlin Dever is great. And for this to be this guy's second directorial movie, there are some extremely cool shots in this film. Some extremely cool technology is used. The way that they present the aliens, even when the aliens are not on screen, with using like the little blue beams and the red beams, like that stuff really worked for me. The alien design really worked for me. Caitlin Dever catching bodies all over the place really worked for me. there was some stuff that I really liked about this film. But when it comes to the higher level stuff of like, we have a message and we have something that we want to say, and the stuff about trauma and the stuff about how she did her best friend, that stuff just fell flat for me. The only part of that that worked was when we actually saw what happened with her and the friend, which I won't spoil you for the podcast if you haven't seen the movie. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you've seen the movie, by the way. I won't spoil that yet, but like the scene where we reveal that worked for me. But every time we tried to connect it to the aliens and the larger plot, it just fell flat. Either I was too stupid to understand it, or it just did not work. Like the connection of that did not work, and it just felt like we needed like another layer of the movie, when really I didn't need another layer of the movie. I was just cool with a dumb, fun aliens are here and they're pissed off and they're doing shit to humans was fine with me. But that kind of upper layer where we tried to make it like a higher level meaning just really didn't connect for me. I would give it a B minus. I would recommend people watch it. I had a lot of fun with it, but there are some real flaws in it. But for this to be someone's directorial second movie they've directed, I'm blown away by that, because some of those shots felt like a real, like somebody who has done this for a long time, not just writing stuff, but the way you frame stuff. There are 10 or 15 shots in this movie that literally took my breath away in terms of how you get that shot. And I would like to go back and revisit those shots, but overall, I would give it a B minus. There was a lot of good shit in there, but we fell short.
I think you talked me back up to a B minus, by the way. Like, so I'm right there with you.
If I may, you know, and that's what I meant by like director's cut. Like, it very much felt like what you said, TJ. Like, there are so many endings, and you know, we talked about this. Like, okay, end scene at us understanding that grief is a connection. I know you said either you're too stupid, which sometimes you are, but that is not the case. First, the ending was grief. Then it was, I miss my mother. Then it was, oh no, more aliens. And then it was, oh, but the aliens also have life, culture, meaning, experiments. Then it was like, so it was like 15 movies at the end. It was like Shape of Water. Then it was, you know, Chernobyl.
Signs, yep.
Then it was Signs for a second. Then it was like, you know, then it was like,
it was Nope for a little bit.
And then it was like, oh, what's the most grieving movie where somebody, you know, regrets killing someone? I don't know. I've seen a million movies. Like,
I mean, it's literally Signs. It's like the death of his wife.
Yeah, it's literally Signs.
Right. I respect that in the sense of like, that's what the movie is. And I think that's why I'm okay. And I'm going to grade after you, Roy, and I'm sorry. But like, I think that's why I'm okay with it being the way it is, because it is a movie about an alien invasion. Why are we looking to scholarly, meditative, subversive?
I totally agree.
Oh my gosh, right? Like hashtag, you know, this is a real, I don't think that was the point. So that's why I think when they tried to make that the point at the end, it was like, wait, we're just having fun here. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it being a Hulu movie, like that I could, tight 90 minutes. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I can, that's fine. Like, you don't have to be just fucking classic cinema all the time.
Yeah, and then still not hit the mark.
I like everything is a trauma movie now.
No, I agree with you here. That
everything.
Do we everything really have to do
that? Mean
every
by
single
that.
Movie,
what
man?
Do you mean by that?
Man? Everything is therapy. Like, what do we?
Everyone is very sad.
Yeah, you know, I'm there too.
We all are very traumatic.
We also are on antidepressant, like we know, but like it is
sorry me, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we have taken, we've seen it before, and we've taken like the horror genre, and this is kind of more of like a thriller, like a
this is definitely like more of a thriller.
Like a
there's
yeah.
some scary moments, but this is a thriller.
Yeah, it's a home invasion movie, and yeah. I think that, you know, something's not right with the house sort of thing. And I think that we've seen this over the past few years where we kind of have gotten less and less genre movies and made it, and being able to put your character study into the horror movie. And you know, we've seen it from Barbarian to even like the latest like Friday the 13th movies or whatever. Yeah, Smile. Like, I just think that, like, I think a lot of it is like trauma dumping into this thing. And he wanted, obviously, to like, how do we deal with that? It doesn't quite land the plane, because what you get is like, I don't want to spoil the ending, but what you get is sort of a recreation.
Which ending don't you want to spoil?
The very, very ending.
Oh, you mean when it turned into the last scene from Babylon, like a musical for Babylon.
Right. It's yeah. 18 movies at the end. I saw 18 movies at the end.
I mean,
don't worry, darling.
La La Land. Right. What are we doing? What's happening?
WandaVision.
WandaVision's a very good, very good companion piece to this. And just like WandaVision, it goes off the rails in the last 30 minutes. I just think that, like, it becomes what it is a very modern retelling of a Twilight Zone episode. And it's just an elongated Twilight Zone episode. And I think if you look at it through that lens, considering like nobody watched the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone, it is the best Twilight Zone that we've gotten since the 1960s Twilight Zone. So I think that, like, if you look at it through that lens, if you're a fan of that, then you're going to have a really good time. I kind of took it at face value as that. Granted, they wanted to tell you more than they wanted to sell you more than what we actually got. The decision to have it almost be a silent film. Silent is the wrong word, but no dialogue. To have it be that is an interesting choice. I found myself a little irritated with it because I'm a big dumb idiot. My lizard brain was just like, can we yell and scream? No, well, it's just like, anytime something comes around with this, like, I am worried so much that people are going to be like, well, you're just too stupid to understand it. And I'm just like, you know what? Maybe. Yeah. And they obviously did that for a reason. And Caitlin Dever does an incredible job. And Dex, you were saying she's almost like season tickets. Like, I'm going to watch whatever she's in.
Yeah, and she picks a lot of really interesting stuff.
A movie star.
What else has she been in? I don't know if I've seen anything else she's been in, but I was very impressed.
Booksmart.
Booksmart.
Yeah. Oh, she is in Booksmart. That's right. That's right. Okay.
She was on that show, like, what, Dope Sick, I think it is.
She was in Dope Sick. She was awesome. She was in.
Monique has been telling me to watch Dope Sick for months now.
She was in. She was in that George Clooney movie that came out recently. That was better than it had any right to be.
You mean The Flash?
You mean The Flash?
Chicken to Paradise was very fun. Also, a very easy movie to watch.
She was in Unbelievable,
I saw Ticket to Paradise. Who did she play in Ticket to Paradise?
The daughter.
The kid.
She was the daughter.
Oh! Okay. I have seen some of her movies.
She had a really small part.
She wasn't that big of a part of it. I thought you meant The Flash.
Her last movie was... her last Hulu movie was Rosalind, the like Romeo and Juliet remake thing, and I enjoyed it.
Did you give it a score yet?
Not yet. I'm kind of there with you though, because Tej, I'm with a B-, because through all of that, despite all of that, the first 15 minutes and after the two home invasions, basically the first 15 minutes,
incredible.
And the middle half of this movie is like, it just goes and you're just like, oh my god, like, we're doing a Home Alone, hell yeah, like, let's let's go. I found the comedy in it to actually be really funny too, like her fighting the aliens and just like stabbing it with a broomstick and hitting it in the head with a shelf. It was just awesome. I just found all of it to be great. I thought
Cooking them aliens, bro. Yeah. She was really cooking
body.
She was catching bodies.
The movie doesn't work if she doesn't, but then I think they got really, you know, generous, gratuitous there with that.
That's a
conversation. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it became silly, like slapstick at some points. Right. But I just think it was having fun. I gave it a B-. If for genre fans, I think you can do a lot worse. And especially if you're watching this is the perfect movie to watch at home. Like, would this have been fun in the theater with some people? But it's an hour and a half. Watch it with your significant other. You'll have a good time. Honestly, B- for me.
Mo, what's your grade?
I'm going to give it a B+. The reason why I'm giving it a B+ is because this really is. I mean, if you listen to everything and you condense everything that we just said, this is what we watch movies for. you know, we want to have a good time. We want to laugh a little bit. To your point, Royden, we don't need the trauma all the time, although it's just reflective of like the times, and movies are always that in every, you know, decade. But I think, you know, that was just like the last 15 minutes where it was like crazy. In between, we've got questions, we've got aliens. I love that this podcast and you guys on the podcast are talking about it's a home invasion movie, like referencing a Miss Picciarino tweet. I always do this. But like I was in 2020, I was like, damn, you know, we're sitting in our house so much. I was like, damn, I want to watch a home invasion movie. And I watched just like a bunch of home invasion
strangers,
movies, including one called Home Invasion when I'm sitting in my whole house. Freaking my brain. I don't know. It's kind of sick, but this is a home invasion movie. And come on, how many amazing top of the line home invasion movies have you seen? Oh my God, balloons.
What just happened?
How did that happen? Balloons. Did you do that?
I don't know. Did I do that?
I don't.
Did Royden do that? I have no
idea.
That
may have been something balloons from our though, Twitter. Or was it
just me? I saw it. I was just like, what's happening? I don't
know what happened. Whose birthday is it? Did I miss something?
Anyway.
No, but like, I don't think, you know, outside of the movies we've said that are classic, Signs, which is, I don't know that anybody really called Signs necessarily a home invasion movie first, but it is a home invasion movie in a way, obviously, but it's so much more than that. So I think, I don't know. And the sound design, the director's shots of the alien versus her, which is very, very,
very cool.
Very fucking cool. Like, it was just like, Alien versus her, and Caitlin Dever, I cannot say this enough. She is a star. Like Mia Goth, I'm telling you, like these horror girlies are doing what they need to do. So I give it a B+, and we'll talk.
There was a home invasion movie that I think a lot of people liked recently, and I think it's by the director of Crawl, but I'm not sure where the...
Crawl is the greatest movie of all time. I just want to put that out there. I've said that on this podcast so before. Good. It is literally the greatest movie of all time.
The person is... the woman is deaf, and I can't remember what... so she can't, you know... Obviously, she can't hear what's like going on around her, but I cannot remember...
Are you talking about the one where she's a writer and the guy comes and haunts her, or is it recent? That's an old movie.
It's more recent than that, but I'm not quite sure. I'll find it, but it reminded me of that a little bit. I think it's just called
that director has the goods. That guy is fucking phenomenal.
Would you guys consider Paranormal Activity like great classic movies, and why?
The first one of those movies scared me more than any film has ever scared me in my entire life.
I saw the first one of those movies in a movie theater. I was legitimately horrified.
The moment where the alien did the Paranormal Activity thing, that's like, there was just, it was fun. It was fun. It was good. It was good use of one character. Caitlin Dever crushed it. I don't know. It was a really good time. But I have one question. Geez, you have 17 questions.
I have 30.
I relinquished 29 of them. What happened to the bus driver?
Yeah. What happened?
What happened to the bus driver? Because was the bus driver one of the throat people? Or
I mean, I guess they all were.
He was human because he stopped the bus.
And so where's the bus driver? I don't know. I feel like we need his point of view here. I feel like he could have done something here. Where is he?
That's not even in my top 20. My biggest question is
the only one I need.
How did we see her reach down her throat and pull the little bug out of her throat, whereas it seemed like no other human had that option? Right. How was she
built different, dog?
Dex, that's what we're supposed to take from this movie. She's built different than everybody.
RIP to your daughter, but I'm built different.
Oh, shit. That's horrible. What is wrong with you?
Me, I wouldn't have been killed with a rock so easily.
Me, wouldn't have been me.
12-year-old me would have put up more of a fight against that rock, but that's just me.
No other human within a 30-mile radius of her that could have pulled out the bug as well.
Everybody else was fucked up, and she just like, bug in my mouth? No, no more bug in my mouth. And I was like, oh. It's that easy, huh?
17.
What? No one else ever even thought about it. They were like, I guess this is happening now.
This is happening. I'm just going to let it happen.
The movie I was thinking about is called Hush. It's written and directed by Mike Flanagan, who's done everything, like all the stuff now, The Haunting of Bly Manor, Midnight Mass. Dr.
Mike
Sleep.
Flanagan's making money because those haunting shows are doing fucking gangbusters on Netflix.
Yeah. Anyway, the movie's called Hush. If
that's the movie with the writer. Yeah, though that's an old movie.
2016?
Yeah. I've seen that multiple times. That's what I was talking about. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Monique has seen every scary and every home invasion movie literally that exists.
I love even the movie Home Invasion. There's a movie called Home Invasion.
Wonder what happens in that one.
And it is the most home invasion movie. There's nothing. There's zero fluff. Zero. No one will save you fluff. It is a home invasion, and that is the end of the movie.
Well, the one that did, like, in this vein, if you're telling, like, The Strangers is, like, all time.
That's classic.
That's just bone chilling.
Yeah, it'll get you. This isn't that, but I just think that, like, this is not that. But but it does have the makings of, like, something is in the house, and that, like, all of that was incredible to watch, and it gets you on the edge of your seat, and I'm hooked every single time anything like that happens. Now, I will say that I love categorizing movies in, would this have happened in the South? And I say, no.
She would have had a gun.
We would have murdered those aliens.
All of them.
With hammers. My friends would have beat E.T. with hammers.
And guns.
I thought about that tweet the whole time I was watching this film.
Me and my friends would have beat E.T. to death with hammers. I didn't tell you that much.
I actually appreciate... Royden, when you were bringing up, like, or I think it was teach both of y'all, like, irritating by the dialogue, because now that I'm thinking about it, if I'm sitting on set with that person, the directors and the team, I'm like, it's okay if she doesn't talk, that'll get the same effect. But imagine her going into town and people talking to her, and then she doesn't talk because she's such a recluse.
She's like stunned.
So,
yeah.
So shocked. She's so within a shell of herself. That works even a little
bit. That's better. That's better. Right?
Think about that. Like,
yeah.
That would have worked, but to y'all's point, like, it's like you committed to a thing, and instead of honoring the fact that it might have not had to be that the whole time, you were like, nope, we've committed. So
she
now
can't talk. She's in town amongst the people, but she can't talk.
She can't
talk. And then the one time that she does talk.
She's not talking on the way to the bus. I don't know. I don't, the bus driver, I really need to know what happened to him.
She talks towards the end.
Yeah, the one time she does talk, I'm like, why was that the one?
Yeah, why is this the time, like, that she gets the same words?
Dang.
Yeah.
And why, like, what she said, because that would make an end.
That would make sense if that was, like, what we were doing the whole time, but it's like they have her say the line and then it's like
15 more minutes.
Well, she wasn't in the wrong. Like, what's up? like, I don't know. Like, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? Can we just get into spoilers here? So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we can. Okay. Go ahead.
I'll carry it. Whatever you want to spoil.
Yeah. So she has the flashback where you kind of figure out what happened to the mod. The girl.
Also, is this in 1955 or
I can't tell what year it is.
She had a flat screen TV, bro.
Yeah.
Yes. So flat screen TVs came out in 1973. I looked it up because I was like, where's her cell phone, right? Teej, where's her cell phone? 1973 is when the first few cell phones became commercially available. I know that sounds way crazy. We all thought it was the 90s. That's when we got one. But actually, I got one in the 2000s. But yeah, flat screen TVs were like 1973-ish.
She didn't have a flatback TV at all.
Sony, you know?
I couldn't
She had a flat screen. And I was like, okay, cool. She has a cell phone, but then she had a landline, and I was like, wait a second.
Rotary landline.
Yeah, she has a rotary phone and a flat screen TV. That doesn't make any sense.
And then, like, the cars, okay. When she was driving into town, I was like, that doesn't help me either. Like, I don't know what year that is.
I had no idea.
What kind of car? Why is she on a bike? Why? Yeah. But I've also seen, like, a lot of weird movies do a lot of weird, like, time period. Like, it's an old town in the 2008. But, of course, not everything looks like New York in 2008. So this is a rural area that hasn't advanced as much. So I gave the environment some passes there.
Well, I mean, they give you a time period because she goes to her mother's gravestone. It's 2019. Her friend was killed in 2012. Like,
yeah.
We know when it is. It's right. Just like... But why?
So we know, but like everything doesn't fit there. I also hated the tombstone thing because I recognize that the only reason that tombstone scene was there is because we committed to not having dialogue and we wouldn't know her name. Yep. And this is where I go and tell everyone, my experience with movies is very different. I watch subtitles on everything. I don't care what it is.
I would have known her name anyway.
I would have known her name anyway. So it was like, fine. Okay, Bryn, right? But for me, the captions were like creatures warbling, creature gurgling, creature chittering. And I was like, these are great words. Like, I see what they were trying to do. And it sounded like that. It was really, really cool.
Yeah. I just don't know what we were doing with the whole mob thing. Like, is she trying to forgive herself for accidentally killing this kid? Like, why is everybody pissed at her for accidentally killing this kid? Like, your kid was an asshole. Like, I don't, you know, like I would have been said that, like, my bad, but your kid had it coming a little bit.
Also, she's not in jail.
Like, what would she be in jail for? Self-defense. But
they were 12 when it happened.
Yeah. I don't know, she's
22.
And then, like, the aliens saw all this and they were like, you know what, you're all right, kid, you can go back. Like,
I literally don't understand how the aliens cared about that so much. I don't get it. I literally didn't get it.
No, it's just, it's all they know we don't have access to affordable mental health care in the United States, and so they're like, damn, bitch, you live like this. Let's...
Really, truly, because when he was in our house and he saw the picture that she was holding, he was like, damn, this ugly ass girl got you bent, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe that you're living with this trauma. Maybe, like, let's sit down on our couch for a minute.
Let's just take over this entire town so you can be happy.
When she took the bug out of her throat and then the bug ran away and then the bug became her doppelganger and then the doppelganger stabbed her, but then she stabs the doppelganger. That's when I was like, we really don't know what we're doing at the end of this movie.
Yeah, I have no idea what that was. Or
why did we have that?
Dying to yourself.
Okay. 1B question. That's my 1B question.
And that wasn't even the end of the movie, by the way. She's still got to get beamed up into the spaceship. They have to look at her memories, and then they have to send her back down so she can be in love with an alien with a human with a bug in his throat in a musical. I just don't know. Like, the ending of this movie makes no sense at all.
I will say, though, when she got caught in the tractor beam, finally, that was one of those movie. There's always those moments, I feel like, where somebody gets caught lacking, like, barely, and you're just like, damn, they got your ass.
The best part of the movie. Getting her on the ceiling, Exorcist style.
That was fire.
And we're watching that from the alien's perspective of looking at her and her perspective of looking at him upside down, red. It was so cool.
That was amazing.
That was such a great scene.
They finally caught her lacking.
Caught her ass lacking and put the bug in her mouth. I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then the next scene, she was inside the house on the ceiling with the red tractor beam. She could not move, so the bug went to her mouth. And then the next scene, she was outside on the lawn and she was taking the bug out of her mouth. And that's when I was like, oh, I have no idea what's going on.
What it sound like is you a hater and you're not built like her. That's what it's
you're
sound
not built like her.
Nobody was built like her. Everybody else was like, yeah, well, we're just alien slaves now. And she was just like,
doing this.
Actually, if that were me, I would just remove the bug from my mouth. And then she was by herself.
That's exactly how I would simply win this game. I would not lose.
Yeah, I mean, all you other hillbillies can go to hell. I'm gonna beat this whole thing only to get stabbed in the forest by your doppelganger. Like, yeah, I'm just like, she died also 18 times in this movie.
I was gonna say, how did she survive the stabbing to the stomach? Let's go. Two,
got her get back, bro. You know, she she feel different.
Clearly.
Keep that thing on me. Got my box cutter with me.
I also really like that the little small version of the alien did not have like the kinetic, like the telekinetic powers to like pull her, so that he was just trying to bludgeon her, just trying to grab her and scratch her. That really worked for me, because the first alien, like, oh, this alien could like literally just pull her. He's got real powers. And then the little alien was just like, fuck you. Fuck you, bitch. I'm just going to chase you with this house. That really worked for me.
The sitting there to T pose. What do we think about like the thing sitting there to like T pose for a minute?
Like, I still don't understand why he was doing that.
What happened?
The big one was like the weird arm shit that was like voguing. Like, I was like, what's going on? What's happening?
The little one just sat there in the T-pose for like 10 seconds and then all of a sudden started climbing on the walls like a monkey. I was like, oh, why did you do that before?
That was terrifying. I can relate.
It was horrifying.
Sometimes in the middle of a fight, you want to be like, you know what? Go ahead, run, bitch.
The have you heard you've seen the TikTok of Here Come the Hurricane Bitch and then like the runway models like falling down?
Yeah,
that's like what I kept thinking of. But and then she's like, she hits him with boiling water like five times in a row,
and she cooked that. She hit him with every pot.
I don't think
she had all these pots boiling at the same time. I don't know, but
she did it because she was an alien.
Yeah,
she was prepping. It was like Home Alone. Home Alone. He preps the house before the invasion.
Again. Yeah.
But why did she use all four on one alien? I don't understand.
Yeah, because that nigga kept getting back up. So she had to keep doing it. He was resilient.
Yeah, he's like Marvin Harry from Home Alone. He just kept like falling down the stairs, but it didn't matter. Superhuman getting hit by bricks. No, I just.
How did that one die again? Did he get beamed up too?
No, he got like impaled on like the shelf.
She stabbed him through the shelf, and then she hit his head with the shelf, which was amazing. Yeah. She gave him CTE. He was done. Yeah. She turned that man into Antonio Brown.
Yo, that's crazy.
Oh my god. No, I just, and then the big alien falling off the house as a comedic beat.
That was amazing.
It's like it doesn't know its limbs, basically. But yeah, anyway.
When he got trapped in that car, and then he heard the lighter flick, and he kind of realized what was happening, and tried to get out of the car. The stuff they did with the aliens is genuinely some of the most fun shit that I've seen on my home movie screen this year. Like they really bodied that. But that's only 35 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, it's also really strange, or not strange, maybe it's an interesting choice. Like, we all kind of have an idea, like, in the populace of what, like, the Area 51 alien looks like, or whatever, the little green men or whatever. And they just made the alien that, and not something, like super... I mean, there was a couple of things, like, there were different sizes, and obviously the one that Dex said was voguing. They had like different sized limbs, and then they could stand up on their
finger toes.
Yeah, their weird toes. But like it basically looked like a mock up of like if you asked a kid to draw an alien, what an alien looked like.
I know he was pissed when he saw those Mexican aliens get revealed a week or two before his movie came out. I know he was pissed. They looked just like that little Mexican alien. They looked exactly alike.
There's so much that I loved about this movie, and they just threw it all away by like
the first 25 minutes were great,
just not making no fucking sense.
I will say though that the 17 endings of this movie were, at least from a screenwriter's perspective, meant to tie in everything you saw in the first 25 minutes. So now we understand how Maude got killed. We understand where the mailman came from and why she was always excited. And now we get that she's terrified of him. Cool. We get the understanding of why she went to the tombstone. Cool. We get the understanding of like her being an outcast and now she wants love. What outcast doesn't want love? You're stuck in this big, you know, house. So like all of the endings gave you something. Oh, why was she, you know, does she miss her mother? How did she get this big ass house? She looks kind of young. Oh, it's probably her mom's house. And where, you know, where her parents, like that kind of thing. Like all 17 endings did tie back to, okay, here's how we got here and here's why we're here. But I just
except feel for the last one.
Yeah, to me, the last one is unfortunately a pillar of what we watch. In this context, I don't love it because that was forced. But every movie is a romance movie. Unfortunately, I told you an alien bait to love.
That's crazy.
I don't know what to tell you guys. Writers can't do anything without a little bit of romance. But we had multiple opportunities to put that in there before. I don't know why we ended with that.
How come this... that alien at the end could dance, but the aliens that we saw before that were inhabited by humans couldn't do anything but like bend themselves and try to attack humans? Like, why would she?
Question.
Why?
If I can pull my own bug out of my throat, couldn't I do that for you too?
Facts. If that seems totally natural.
But she doesn't want to. She wants to be DeLulu, all right? She wants to.
I could technically do that for you or show you how to do it.
I want to live in this world where people like me. No one remembers that I killed a kid.
So is that what it is? Because just to break down, like to spoil the ending, they help her trauma dump in the spaceship. Obviously, you see what happens with her and her friend. She comes to some acceptance of it with her former self, the 12-year-old her. And then she wakes up and she's in sort of the utopian version I imagine what she wants her town to be. She obviously gets in a relationship with her neighbor down the street who she waves at in the beginning of the movie. They sort of dance into the sunset in this pristine Norman Rockwell-esque Americana setting in the middle of their town where they have this huge festival or something. But then it pans up.
At her new house. Yeah.
Was it at her new house?
It was the new house where she lives with people.
No, it was at her, out and there was three scene changes, environment changes were hard to follow. And then we pan up to the sky with the UFOs.
Yeah, and then the UFOs are still there. The UFOs speed off and...
They've seen her grief, so she's good.
Yeah, so like, what's the point? Is it like, does she...
Was she the only grieving person in her town? But that doesn't make any sense.
Right? She's the only person with any grief. She's the only person with any kind of
her parents get the same treatment? Her parents are obviously still grieving because they're spitting on people. So like, why didn't they get the same DeLulu treatment? I don't get it.
Why can't everybody be DeLulu and happy? Just her.
I don't
Maybe
know.
They it's, were like, you know what, kid? You all right. Like, you cook a couple of us. Game, respect, game.
That's what I think.
Really, what it was. Really what it was.
Yeah. Because really, this is just a murder apologist movie. Like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you cook three of mine in less than like 15 minutes, then I got to respect you. You know what? You can stay here and do what you got to do.
You know when like people give props to LeBron James after like something, and they're just like, yeah, he's just the GOAT. Is that what they did?
Yeah, they're just like, well, she's just hers. She just she killed three aliens. Nobody else killed no aliens. She killed her best friend. She just her. She's just John Wick. So we just gonna respect
LeBron
her.
Down 20 in the finals, dapping up all the Warriors.
Yeah, exactly. Like
where they're like, you know what? Like we won, but like you did your thing, G.
You
like,
should have finals MVP to be clear.
Yeah, yeah. You were the finals MVP, but we took over your town. You were the real MVP.
She literally evades death constantly.
That movie. I feel like I'm enjoying it more and more, like as we're talking about it.
Look, even if it
doesn't make sense, I'm like, that was kind of fun.
Yeah,
her friend went out sad. I mean, you can get a concussion from a rock, but why are you dead? Like, come on, ma'am. Come on, bro.
Ma'am,
you're dead.
That wasn't even that big of a rock.
I'm absolutely sicko. Give me something more dramatic and horrific.
I thought it was going to be like a car crash.
You know what I mean? Like, I need something that, like, really a rock, man. You
it's
know,
Cain and Abel story.
She hit her
one time with a rock, and that girl was dead. Come on, bro.
The way she like just that's her body just bent back was so fucking funny. I was like,
all right,
that's that PG-13 shit right there. In like a rated R movie, they just her head is just completely off her body.
It wasn't giving for me.
They hereditary her, yeah.
It's a PG-13 movie. They're just like, just do the Matrix real quick.
That's really what it is, Jordan. I've seen an Ari Aster movie too many times. Why are we not walking off cliffs to our death? What are we doing?
I've never seen an Ari Aster movie too many times. Not me.
Oh, did you see the director's cut was coming back to theaters soon? of
Yes. Oh, well, I said this to Monique. I said, Monique, are we going to see Midsommar? Because I will be there. I will be seated. I will be seated.
There's more. There's shit he didn't get to put.
There's like a 4-hour cut.
I'm also going to the 4-hour cut of Bo is Afraid in 2027 when they put it out or whatever happens. I'll be there. I will be there.
I'm going to be there. Okay, Bo is Afraid also had 35 endings, but they were each
true.
No, they weren't.
Monique, these people tried to tell me that Bo is Afraid was not real cinema. These people tried to tell me this.
I hated that movie.
Are you kidding me? You got to watch it again.
I had a time.
I barely got through it the first time.
That was the closest I've ever been to just straight up walking out of a movie theater before the movie was over.
I know that Always Be My Baby made you feel something in that movie theater when that shit dropped. I know it did.
Feel repulsed. I was like, why would Mariah Carey agree to this?
Ari Aster's a sicko, bro. She had to sit through that entire film just for one joke.
Oh my God.
Okay, but that one joke
might have been the funniest thing I've seen in the movie theater this year. I was dying.
I
mean,
I had a great time.
I was watching that movie the whole time. Like, why is this happening to me? Like, what's going on?
What choices have led me here?
If No One Will Save You is rated R, we have a little bit.
No, PG-13.
No, I said if. Oh, if it was rated R, we get something a little bit more different. I'm telling you guys, what does the director's cut of this movie look like? I'm telling you, we watch the director's cut. This is what it is.
Well, it's only an hour and a half. I guess there's not another ending.
I'm telling you what it is. There can't be another ending out there.
I don't know what else he would have put.
Did he add
in
something
here
to the beginning? Because there's no more endings. He thought of every ending.
Maybe the director's cut has dialogue in it. He just cut all the dialogue on the movie.
Some producer got their hands on this. He's like, speaking? Absolutely not. Ew.
Yeah, now the writers are off strike.
Loved your movie.
Get a different version of this movie.
I want the director's cut. No, you don't have it because we watched the director's cut.
Somebody needs to go give that director a lot of money and have him make a different Alien movie, because that shit was, when he had the aliens on screen, he was operating at a very high efficiency. I was extremely impressed.
The scenes, the cinematography was crazy. The editing was crazy. It was so good. Give me a rated R, Brian Duffield. No One Will Save You Again, ever. And there you go.
No One Will Save You Again.
No one will ever save you from
I'm in and grief.
You add a couple of that lines of dialogue. I'm in, because there were more words said in Coda and John Wick than were said in this movie, which is actually insane. I didn't think you could make a movie with less dialogue than those two
of the same films, actually.
Very similar movies. People have often said this.
Yeah. Coda? You know what you just did there. Oh, my God.
Coda. I haven't watched that in a long time. We can go back to that.
There's no need to go back to Coda. It's fine.
I enjoy Coda, but are we talking about a let's all be nice to each other, our Best Picture winner? Jesus. Like, that...
Hey, there are worse Best Picture winners, to be fair.
You have a problem with therapy and trauma. You have a problem with this. I'll be nice to each other. What's going on?
What do you want, Royden?
Royden, what do you want, man?
To drink a lot and then punch a picture of my family.
Okay, I know just the movie for you.
Yeah.
It's called Babylon. Watch it.
I was going to say it's called Fast X.
It's called Marriage Story.
It's called Fast X.
Marriage Story. Oof.
Watch any Adam Driver.
I'm not saying, like, yeah, I actually like
the Adam Driver movie works.
I liked Coda. I'm just saying it is what it is when you go and you look at it and you're like, would this have won ever?
I looked at it and I was like, is this better than Power of the Dog? Yes.
You know what? Okay, fair.
That's true. Much better. Is this better than Green Book? Yes.
You know I love my Benedict Cumberbatch. I'll tell you what.
So we've been wrapping these up with our own little what we watch. What are you watching, Mo? What does Mo watch?
What have you been watching?
This is the third podcast I've been on where y'all are ending your movies like this. Look at what we watch or ending your shows like this.
What are you watching?
What are we currently watching? I am currently watching Castlevania Nocturne. Hmm. I'm currently rewatching.
Wait, like the video game?
It's a Netflix show.
Netflix show.
Is it like based on the video game or is it?
Yeah.
Sick.
It's great. It's perfect. I've only seen one episode. About to start Gen V because that came out, and I'm rewatching Swarm.
Wait, Gen V's already out?
Tomorrow, Friday.
I need to watch that. I'm on. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
totally Gen V. Come on, I'm in. Right. I need another season of The Boys, and then yeah, we're talking TV, right? I'm not watching.
I mean, movies. or movies.
What movies am I watching multiple times? I mean,
or what do you got coming up?
What do I have coming up? Dumb Money, The Creator, Expendables, because I'm a huge 50 Cent fan.
Oh, that got shat on in reviews. It has like a.
I don't 20. Care what y'all talking about. Y'all don't have the eye like I do reviews.
All the Expendables movies got shat on, but they're fun.
Did y'all all watch Equalizer 3?
Yes.
Okay,
that's the beginning and end of that conversation. Okay, great. I love Denzel Washington.
Same.
Don't we all
watching Dex and Royden?
I just watched an early screening of The Creator as we, right before we got on. I don't want to spoil it here. I gave a quick review on Twitter. That's
probably our next episode, so don't say too much.
Yeah, the last hour of the movie fucking goes. It's unbelievable. I'm not going to spoil too much, but it is other sci-fi that you've seen, but it doesn't matter. I think it's really good.
Okay.
And it's what you go to movies for, to be completely honest with you. So that's that. And, Caitlin finished, the show where they propose to each other or don't propose, The Ultimatum. So yeah, she finished that. That was riveting. Television.
But by she finished that, you mean y'all finished that?
Yeah, I yes, was on okay. my phone while it was in the Got background. It. Yeah,
The Ultimatum was a perfect show to watch on your phone. It's like you'll get the gist. You just hear the dialogue and you'll get the gist.
Just hear them yelling at each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that. You know what's funny is I turned on really quick because it's like the most popular show in the world now because there's 100 episodes of it and they just threw it on the front page of Netflix. Suits.
Suits had a resurgence.
People love Suits.
Yeah, it has like an 8.3 on IMDb. And I was like, you know what? I have never watched one episode of this show. And I'm not above a shitball USA Today show. Or not USA Today. USA show. Like Burn Notice or whatever it is.
Are you kidding me? Those shows are great.
It's good? Huge Psych fan. No, but I was entertained for like...
Got it.
Perfect. It's a perfect show. So is Burn Notice. Both shows. Great. Yeah. Too.
And then there was a Netflix movie that came out literally like this week called, it's a terrible title, but it's called Love at First Sight. And that sounds like a Netflix reality show, but
it is a Netflix reality show.
It is a Netflix reality show.
Yes.
Is it really?
I think so. Or somebody's reality show.
There's
somebody's
got a reality show like that. Sight.
Marriage at First Sight, MAFS, yes.
Yeah. So there is it's called Love at First Sight. It's a romance movie, kind of a rom-com, but it's actually really serviceable and really good. I would check it out. I mean, you love romance movies, Mo. So like it was genuinely just kind of took my breath away at points, but I thought it was really good. Haley Lou Richardson from, what do you call it?
White Lotus
is, she's really good.
Oh, I'm in. Yeah. Wait, did you just say it took your breath away? Look at you being.
No, there's. I mean, I'm a romantic at heart, but I'm just saying, like, there's a couple of scenes where I'm like, aw, like I was really moved by stuff like that. So,
and yeah, yes, I do love romance movies because every movie is a romance movie, including No One Will Save Me.
Sure, absolutely.
You saw the ending.
I saw all of them. Dex, go ahead.
Honestly, not too much on the movie and TV front recently. I'm seeing The Creator tomorrow. Gonna write a review on that. Getting back to doing that. Mostly been watching sports as of late. Go Dynamo. We just won the U.S. Open Cup. So look at
us. Did we win? Oh,
sweet. We won. We awesome. Out here.
We beat Messi. City of
Champions, baby. Messi didn't play, but.
Oh, damn.
Still, we take those.
What? That bum.
Yeah, he is a bum. He's fatigued.
I mean, he is Teej's age out there running around. So
please stop. Please.
Cook product. They've been saying.
Please. I've been watching. I finished Special Ops Lioness this week. Incredible. I had a great time. It makes me want to go back and watch all the other Taylor Sheridan shows that y'all have been watching. the All Being America that I have not been watching.
Middle America. All of Middle America.
I'm gonna be Yellowstone hive here pretty soon because I had a great time with a special ops lioness. Zoe Saldana did a phenomenal acting job, and I don't think I've ever said that sentence before in my life. No disrespect to her. I had a great time.
Is that the apology we're hearing from all the tweets?
An apology for Zoe Saldana. It's really her. She crushed it. I had a great time. I hope they make a season two. I had a lot of fun with it. I feel like
it's too late for Zoe Saldana to be really her. I feel like we would have known.
True. She can't hear me over the money. So.
She's her. Hey, she's her at the fucking bank. I tell you that much.
Definitely her at the bank.
Okay.
Also Nicole Kidman. Also Morgan Freeman. Great cast. Great writing. I had a great time with it. I also ran back just last night. The Dark Knight. Newsflash: that movie still fucking bangs.
What a great time. Film!
It's just good. It's just perfect.
Breaking news, dude on podcast says Dark Knight.
Little known effort from a little known director.
Yes, so much better than, I don't know if you guys have seen it, probably. I think everyone did, but no one did. Oppenheimer, much better than Oppenheimer, not better than Tenet. That's my hot take for the day.
It's better than...
There's so many opinions.
It's better than Tenet, and it's probably not better than Oppenheimer, but also it is better than... I don't know, that's hard. Oppenheimer is really good. Anyway,
I need to watch Oppenheimer again before I say
it's,
that.
It's, I've seen it three times. I'm also seeing Django Unchained in 35mm on Friday at Quentin Tarantino's theater. I'm extremely excited about that.
Wait.
Very excited. Mo's coming with me. I'm very excited. I'm also seeing The Creator on Monday, and I watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High the other day. Hey, that movie's not good. It's just not a good film. It does nothing for me. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think this is my second or maybe third time watching it. It's not that funny. It's cool to see all the famous people in it that like are really young. It's cool to see Sean Penn being a young stoner guy, but overall the movie's not very good. I don't enjoy it that much. I think that's all I've been watching.
I have a question. I haven't gotten to talk about Winning Time, but I loved Winning Time. And
I finished Winning Time too. Amazing.
Has anyone revisited Blindside since all the shit came out? Was that
we wanted to as a bit and we just never
did. Yeah, we were going to. We never did.
Comedy movie? Like, would I actually have to laugh now? Like, when I watch that movie? I don't know.
I'm not going to lie to you. I understand that The Blind Side is an entire work of fiction, but
I think it's great.
I fucking loved that movie.
Obviously, it fits so much better in the time that it came out. But I really just want to revisit it now. It's like with this brain and see how I feel.
It's probably super nasty now. Your current brain would hate that shit, I think.
Just being like, damn, they lying.
The entire time, like, they not.
But Sandra Bullock is just good. Like, she's just Sandra Bullock. She's just good.
I just love Sandra Bullock. Sorry.
Sandra really should be getting a little bit of Zoe's bag. A little bit more of Zoe's bag, honestly. She
got Bird Box. I mean, everybody in America watched that movie. All
right. That's not the bag.
Remember when they lied and said like 2 billion people watched Bird Box?
they said some astronomical crazy
number. I've never heard anything about it since. No.
Wait, no. There's a movie called Bird Box Barcelona.
Yeah. But like.
Is that?
I hate the alliteration. Bird Box. It hasn't come out yet.
It was the hot. No, it's out.
But it's a sequel. Oh, it's out?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody who's seen this movie, by the way.
Me neither.
If Monique hasn't seen it and Dex hasn't seen it, nobody has seen this film.
Correct.
No.
Bird Box was the hottest shit in the street for like a week and a half, and then I never heard about it ever again. Like, it was nuts. I don't know how Netflix does that.
But that's
like,
how shit works. Yeah. Everything comes and goes.
Well, and they farted out another thing, and they're just like, "Who insert star into this movie and then we'll do it again." So
Netflix is going to have a very good end of the year. From the trailers I've been seeing, I think Netflix is going to give us some heat on the movie side going into the fourth quarter.
They bought a lot of stuff.
They bought a lot of stuff. They were prepared for the writer strike and however long it was going to last. And I think they got some good shit over there at Netflix towards the end of the year. I'm excited to see what they give us. Probably
Apple TV still going to run up the score at the Oscars, baby.
Killers of Flower Moon is about to go crazy, bro. It's about to go so crazy.
And those Netflix CEOs have to be screaming into the fucking void, like, what do we have to do? Like, you know, like...
And it looked like they finally had it, and then Coda came out of nowhere. Just you'd love to see
nice
it.
To each other.
Oh, well,
reviews.
No, I just think that you're gonna like just some actually industry stuff, like you're gonna see a lot of prestige, if you will, I guess, or even bigger character dramas go to Netflix because they bought a lot of stuff out of Telluride, the Venice Film Festival and stuff like that, where these other major studios couldn't participate in that. Some, for some reason or another, they could, and they went ahead and purchased all of it, and they don't have to. Their machine is such that they don't have to have actors and directors like promote their stuff, really. So it, you're going to see a lot of these, like, you know, character-driven pieces come to Netflix, which, you know, more people, I guess,
are going to win Best Picture. They're still not going to win
Best Picture. That's what we need. It sucks when you can only see a movie if you went to the film festival. It sucks. You got to wait and see it before you're out.
Facts.
So you can
watch it. Facts.
All right. So that has been a One Take Podcast. You can find us at One Take Podcast, One Take Podcast on Twitter, One Take Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and everywhere else. You can email us at onetakepodcastshow@gmail.com. I haven't checked that in like the last quarter, but that's
fine. Don't send us emails. Don't do that. Just send us tweets.
Mo, where can they find what you're doing?
Hi, yes. Whatwewatch.net for the one-stop shop, everything, Twitter Spaces, X Spaces, YouTube videos, podcasts just like this.
Don't call it X. This, we're rebelling against the name X.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Sidebar, when somebody sends you a video link in like a text message and it's broken and it just says x.com/videos, yes. That is like that is like really treacherous.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's like X video. Like, what?
This is not the we have, sir. What's
yeah. Then here? You click it and it's just like, you know, two dogs swimming or something, like whatever. But it's just like, it's it, really Jimmy the button. Hyperlink is X dot video, you know, and you're just like, whoa.
Right. Anyway. I will say continue to support the actors as they continue to strike. Hire Black writers, and thank you so much. Find me at whatwewatch.net and www.filmtv on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you.
All right. I can't wait for y'all to enjoy a casual racism at the 35 millimeter showing of.
We're going to have a great time. We are going to have a fucking time.
All I hear is criticize.
When I tell you that my best friend knows when I'm in a bad mood, just send me that video. I will cry laughing. I'm about to cry right now. It's so ridiculous. I was on the floor. That is disgusting to fall onto the floor of a theater. I was on the floor.
I've never heard a theater scene.
What?
I've never heard a theater laugh harder. People couldn't breathe. Like they couldn't get breath in.
I fell out of my chair.
And it's tough to say that about a KKK rally in a movie, but like
it's so funny.
That's what made it. That's why I said a racism is sometimes funny, unfortunately.
There's a big
the way they're doing Robert
racism
Rules
is
of
never
order.
Funny except when it is.
Except when it is.
Sometimes racism is funny. I will say though, TMNT had me laugh a lot.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
That's on
I laughed a disordered amount. I did not think TMNT was
gonna died laughing at the New York scene. So
all right, you can find us again, One Take Pod on all platforms. Dex, what are you doing?
Hashtag support Florence Pugh. We'll be out here.
All right, we're out.
Gone and close the curtains, cause all we need is candlelight. You and me.